Adonai, we worship you, Son of God, you are so great, Almighty God, hallowed be your name. Your dominion is forevermore. Adonai, Adonai, we worship you, we worship you, Son of God, you are so great, Almighty God, hallowed be your name, your dominion is forevermore. Adonai, Adonai, we worship you, Son of God, you are so great, Almighty God, hallowed be your name. Your dominion is forevermore. Adonai, we worship you, we worship you, Son of God, you are so great, Almighty God, hallowed be your name, your dominion is forevermore. Almighty God, Almighty God, hallowed be your name, your dominion is forevermore. Almighty God, hallowed be your name, your dominion is forevermore. Almighty God, hallowed be your name, your dominion is forevermore. Your dominion is forevermore. Let's lift our voice and give praise to the one that his dominion is forevermore. What a day. I don't know if you feel what I feel, the joy to complete a project, to complete an assignment, to complete the instruction of the Father. I don't know if you feel the power, the blessings. I don't know if you feel the atmosphere is different like no other day. Adonai, Makuz Alavande Lebosia, meaning he is the Lord of Lords. Adonai, the Lord of hosts. Adonai, the owner of the planet. We come this afternoon in the name of Jesus to appreciate and to give glory and praise and thanks. We give him praise. We give him praise for the 37th day of our spiritual supernatural journey, an exercise that has proven to be the best thing we have done with our lives, the beginning of this glorious year. Faveno onamakisa livrosa di kalada brodoshe, memo omo onamaki atoso novave de guful atanomo, beligrus teziz ozovanimo lufaleto, zegul ardejo vojo nima pampinon delile, venus kefilo vradila vranosu bekuya lavana, shadikele ezezundolo mokavina. We thank you, Father. We honor you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for testimonies, testimonies, testimonies. Thank you for revelations and dreams and visions as you reveal deep and deep and mighty things to your children and to every one of us. We want to say thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. In Jesus' victorious name we worship. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 The Lord be praised. The Lord be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. Welcome. It's our daily discipleship training. It's School of Vision. It's the 15th day. We have only 13 days left to complete this very training. Now, do me a favor. We will only and celebrate those who never missed a class, those who did not miss a class. I want you to take note of this. The fasting is what is coming to an end tonight as we receive anointing to fulfill vision, but the training continues every day in School of Vision, and we will be sending certificates to those who participated in the training. I wanted to make sure you know about that so you prepare. Don't miss any day. If you miss any day, you may not be able to receive the certificate because we want to make sure those who received every class will be able to receive joyfully, and they can look the devil in the eye and look anybody in the eye and say, I attended a 30-day training in the School of Vision, and never be confused anymore. That's why this week is the week that the Lord wants us to deal with the monster of confusion, that you will never be confused as to who you are, what you have, where you are going, what you want to do with your life. That confusion will be destroyed completely. So this week, it's war, war against confusion. Confusion defined by the Bible is spiritual madness, insanity, disorder, chaos, and all kinds of evil, according to the Bible, as we study all throughout from Sunday to date. So please, this is a special day. We're expecting the Father to anoint every one of us today according to our faith. So there are seven things to watch out for as we bring the fast to an end. I want to prepare you for tonight. I want to prepare you for the journey, because the journey is just beginning. Seven major things from the 37 days of seeking the face of the Father, of spending time in his presence for what he's showing us. Seven major keys that you will have to look at from day to day in order to successfully enjoy that which you have received and downloaded from the Father. So we're looking at seven major areas just for you never to forget. A lot of things were covered these 37 days as we're praying and fasting. Early morning, as we begin, hold the face of the Father from the secret place at 6:30. As we get on that altar, the Father gives us the focus for that day and builds our faith So let's recap seven major things. A lot was said from the very first day. But as we prepare for the anointing, as we prepare to run, as we prepare to enter the world that we have fasted for and prayed for, seven things I want to draw your attention by the help of the Holy Spirit as we declare war against confusion. So you will never be confused about this area. Number one is the cry of the Lord for mankind to return. Number one is returning to the Lord. Returning to the Lord. You see, what we have received from the Father these 37 days is return to me. We have run after companies, we have run after businesses, we have run after human beings, we have run after everything and everybody except the one that created us. So the first thing we will not forget after prayer is that you and I have returned. Now we are going out there, which is what divine destiny and vision is all about. God wants all his children to return back to the Lord, to return back to the Lord. These seven major keys will help you not to lose focus as to what we prayed and what God shared with us. Number two point is not only should we call, you and I have returned, we've returned to our Maker, we've returned to our Lord, but you see, number two is repenting. It's called repenting, repentance. We've got to repent. For 37 days we prayed, Lord, we repent. To repent is to change. Is to change your mind. Is to change your life. That's what repentance means from the scriptures we've read. And this is important for you to take note. Because as you speak to people, as you get back to work, as you start the business, as you relocate, as you move, as you cut off from past evil friends and stay away, it is a call to repentance, to change. I cannot say now, I've finished the fasting. Thank God I did 37 days prayer fasting. I didn't eat from morning to 6 p.m. That is not what is going to be the case, because the devil is not afraid of how you did not eat or didn't drink for 37 days. It is helping people to change. Now that we have changed, repentance means we change permanently. You make a U-turn and never. I was going on the wrong road and the Lord spoke to me, it's time to repent, and I repent. Repent means I made a U-turn. I'm not going to turn back to go on the wrong way. And because we have repented of how we pursued things, we pursued money, we pursued other things that people were pursuing, it's time for us to cry out to other people, return to your Father, return to your Maker, return. Number two is to repent. We're going to ask other people to repent by changing the way they think, by changing the way they live, by changing the way. That is the vision. That is what the Father wants, that people will just repent, means change, because a new government is here. A new kingdom is here. We're only recapping from what we've received for 37 days of praying and fasting and seeking the face of the Lord. Number three, this will help you as a recap. Paruvala fatozinia, nakitolizia. To number three is receiving. And we've always said that lift your hand and receive. The problem believers have, the problem most Christians have because of this spirit of ignorance and confusion is they have not received. One of the most powerful scripture we can't forget, as I want you to read that with me in this aspect of receiving, because this is where people are missing it. They are missing it. The Lord Jesus already paid for everything. but we're not receiving it. Instead, we're running after human beings for what Jesus is the only one that can give to us. Number three is to receive the new life that he has come to offer, to receive the new way of doing things, to receive the blesser himself who gives new life to people. I want you to read with me the scripture. It will bless your life forever. He told us very clearly, and we cannot be confused. It's not possible. And if you have never read John chapter 10, I want you to do that. Now that we are rounding up the fast, read John chapter 10. You will never be the same. I'm not going to take the risk of reading it because we have four more. We have the first three and we have the four more. But let's read John chapter 10. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. Then I'll read it from the NLT as we continue with the remaining four. I haven't fasted for 37. Where are the keys, seven keys that you can never forget? What we're going to run. To run into the world for from today as we receive the anointing. Some of you are already doing it. Speaking to friends, speaking to relations, speaking to those who are lost and trying to save their lives. But this is what you keep ready handed so you are not confused. What do I see? Where do I start? Listening carefully as we read John chapter 10. I will read from verse 1 to 10. Please pay attention. This is so important because tonight the anointing is coming upon you and I, and the enemy can no longer limit you and I. What a joy. What a joy. What a joy. Let's do this. Verse 10, chapter 10, I said verse 1. It said, let me set this before you. John chapter 10, verse 1, Message Bible. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. What a blessing. As plainly as I can. John 10, 1. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. You know he's up to no good. A sheep rustler. A sheep rustler. Verse 2. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. Talking about the devil in verse 1. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. Verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. The sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They are familiar with his voice. Verse 5, they won't follow a stranger's voice but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. They aren't used to the sound of it. Talking about you and I, Jesus refers to us as sheep. He said they won't follow. We have followed the stranger's voice forever. Remember in the garden, it was the voice of a stranger they followed, and that stranger took them out of the will of God, took them out of the plan of God, took them out of the vision of God, brought confusion and chaos into the garden until everybody was thrown out. So verse 5, Jesus said, they won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Verse 6, Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. And that's why we need the teaching, the teaching, the teaching. Because you can read this Bible for 1,000,000 years and never have an idea what is the spiritual code behind it. Jesus told this simple story. John 10, 6, Message Bible, when verse 6, but they had no idea what he was talking about. Verse 7. So he tried again. I'll be explicit. He tried again. I'll be explicit. Then I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. Ah, I am the gate. It sounded what? So you mean we followed fables all these years? We followed the devil's twist and lies? Listen to us. Oh, my goodness. I'm the gate for the sheep. Verse 8. All those others are up to no good. What a way for Jesus to speak. He said, let me tell you plainly, I am the gate. I am the gate for the sheep. Wow. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers. Every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. Verse 9, I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me, anyone who goes through me will be cared for. Is that not what we're looking for? Will be cared for. Will be cared for. Will freely go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, a thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. The three major ministry of the devil, the three major mission of the devil. As you round up the fast, don't be deceived. The enemy is not happy. He's like Pharaoh. He will come pursuing for those who are not going to be steady and strong to learn. Hear what Jesus said. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy, steal and kill and destroy. And that's what we see all over the world, stealing, killing, destroying. I came. I want you to pay attention. I came. Why did you come into the world? I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Can you imagine the vision? This is why I came. I left heaven, left my throne, left all my glory, left all my dignity. I came. Please, for those of you who are always ready, write this down. You ask yourself from this very evening as we say, why did I come here? Why did I come into? Because until that answer is set before you, the devil will tempt you. The devil will try. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you? But when it's clear, can you imagine? Jesus said, I came. I came so they can. Talking about the sheep, you and I. I came so they can. I came so they can. Now you see Christians dying of sickness, dying of diseases, suffering in terrible relationships, messed up life, messed up. They suffer like the same people in the world. There's no difference. And Jesus said, that's not why I came. I came so they can have real and eternal life. Real life and eternal life. More. And better life, more and better life. That's why we sing that song, even though we don't sing it all the time. I want more of you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you. That's the reason why you cannot say, I finished fasting, let me go back to the devil. Let me go back to the way he can't even walk. He said, I came so they can have. That's why point number three is so important. So they can receive, they can have. Look around you and see what you didn't have before. Because until you know what you don't have and what Jesus came, he said, I came so that you can have real life and have eternal life on this earth, not when you die. You can have real life and have eternal life, more and more and better life than they ever dreamed of. I want to round up with verse 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. Sacrifices Have you ever heard of the devil sacrificing anything for anybody? Have you heard about the devil dying anywhere? The devil just pushes people out of their vision, pushes people out of the will of God for them, pushes people out of the plan of God, pushes people away from the destiny God has designed for them. Jesus said, I came so they can have real life. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but since the fasting began, you can say, my goodness, this is what I've been missing. This is real life. It's not religion. Not just enter a church building, come out the same, go the same, enter the same, come out the same every day, enter with sickness, come out with sickness, enter normal, come out abnormal. That is not why Jesus came. He said, I came so that they can have. Shout, I receive it. I receive this. He said, I want them to have a better life than they ever dreamed of. I'm going to quickly try to risk it again to read it from the NLT before we get into the rest of the 4 points. As we round up the fast to say, okay, what did I learn? What are the keys to hold on to? What are the things? That's why this morning the Lord gave us Ephesians 2:10. I'm going to dig deep into that verse. This is my predestinated life. This is what God designed me for, to live and do and achieve. Let's read from the NLT very quickly before we run out of time as we prepare for tonight. I believe you've begun to get every friend, family member ready for the anointing. John 10, verse 1, New Living Translation. I tell you the truth. I'm in verse 1 again. Anyone who sneaks over the wall, which is what the devil tells people, they will sneak into heaven. He said, don't worry, I've managed to get to heaven. Don't worry, you don't know me. I always sneak into everything. Listen to what Jesus said. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Verse 2, but the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. They come to him. Sheep don't run from their shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. You no longer lead the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. He came with a mandate, with a vision, with a mission, with a passion. Verse 4, after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. That's why it's called discipleship. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. Verse 5. They won't follow a stranger. And a strange vision. And a strange destiny. They won't follow a stranger. It said they will run from him because they don't know his voice. Talking about the devil. Verse 6. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. They did not understand. So look at verse 7 of the New Living Translation, John 10:7. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Verse 8, all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Oh, that's why you have not listened to Muhammad. That's why you have not listened to Buddha. That's why you have not listened to all the heresies and the other people that people buy, the Lahai Moon, Song Moon, and all the demonic people that call themselves Savior. He said, all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Verse 9, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Talking about prosperity, talking about power, talking about peace, talking about promotion. Good pastures. Then verse 10. The thief's purpose is to steal the vision, steal your dreaming, steal your destiny? Steal? He said the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose. Don't you like it? Don't you like it when people say, I don't know my purpose. I don't even know what God has for me. I don't know the will of God. Listen to this. He said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. My purpose for dying. My purpose for saving them. My purpose for going to the cross. My purpose for coming. Can you imagine how straight this is? How can you finish a 37 days fast and still be lost in purpose, in vision? The covenant vision. God doesn't have vision and purpose to give you sickness after I save you. There are those who are saying, maybe it's the will of God for me to be sick. At least I know pastors that are sick. I know a lot of great, good people, nice people, very nice, but they still have sickness and they die. So maybe it's the purpose of God for me to go through the hell I'm going through now. It's a life from the pit of hell. Look at the two purposes. The devil's purpose is to steal your real purpose, is to kill your real purpose, and to destroy your life. He did it in the garden. There are two purposes that people are running in this world. The purpose of the devil, to drink and smoke and live carelessly and sleep around. The devil has stolen their dream, their vision, and wants them to live a rascal life, a life of rebellion until he destroys them in hell. But Jesus said so clearly, and I don't know why many don't read this. If you read it in King James Version, you will never catch it like this. He said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Verse 11 is where we're under because of time. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Sacrifices his life for the sheep. Can you notice what other people believe? Like the Muslims, for instance, believe in killing people. If you don't believe Muhammad, just kill them. Bloodshed, kill and kill as we speak. India is under serious satanic attack. If they catch you that you are a Christian, India. The government is against anything that is not Hindu. Now they are killing and persecuting Christians. Why should we receive the purpose of the Lord? He said, my purpose is to give them. And if somebody say, my purpose is to give you something, what do? You receive. You receive. Can I hear you say, I receive. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Somebody lift your voice and receive that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Let me see. We're out of time, but let me give you one more. Write it down, and we will do the rest by 6 p.m. before we connect to the altar in church in Zoom. Number 4, when you receive what he came to give, the purpose he came to give us, the destiny he came to restore us back to, the 4th key that we've learned throughout this 37 days of prayer. Are you ready for this? You begin to renew your mind. Renew, that's what this teaching does. It renews your mind. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, verse 2, to renew our mind, not to conform. It says, don't follow this world, don't copy this world. But now that you are saved, now that you've received Jesus into you, let him renovate. Let him renovate. It's like buying an old house and you renovate it, you repaint it, you put it in place. The word of God is the only thing we use to renew our mind. The Spirit of God enters you and your mind is not renewed. That's why we do what we do, until your mind is renewed, renovated. The enemy will still continue to attack your mind and still dangle some things before you. So once you receive this new life that Jesus has for us, new purpose, new destiny, new dream, new life, new nature, you now sit down to renew. And that is the reason why we spend time in the Word. Father, we thank you for this renewal process, that with your word you are helping us renew our mind. Our mind has been twisted. The devil has lied to us. Our mind have accepted all kind of religious lies. Do you know religion is what the devil used to destroy people? So Father, today we thank you for this discipleship training, helping us to get back to the vision that you have for us from Genesis chapter 1, from the beginning of creation, that your dream and purpose for us, your vision for creating us, is to be like you, is to do exactly like you, is to walk as you walk and talk as you talk. We renew our mind with your word. We receive this rich life and satisfying life that Jesus came to give us. We receive this new purpose and we vow to pursue it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I want you to make sure that you are there with us by 6 p.m. as we break the fast. It's the last day. Celebrate, give him praise, and use this time to prepare yourself like Jesus did. The Bible says everybody was baptized, but heaven didn't open. But when Jesus was baptized, because he was praying, I want you to be in prayer for an anointing that will never leave you, an anointing to shake your world, an anointing to help your generation. This is our purpose. This is the vision. And pray for the guest that is coming, that, Lord, I'm not looking to man, I look to you, that you will use your vessel to open my eyes and to pour into me the anointing I need for fulfilling. I know you use vessels, but you are the one that blesses and anoints. You are the anointer. My eyes are open. Anoint me so I can help my generation and not waste another second, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We'll pick it up from number 4 when we meet at 6. The Lord bless and keep you in Jesus' mighty name.